Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lauren L. of Baha'i Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's currently January 31st, 2016, 9:30 p.m. Tomorrow is February 1st. We're already moving into the year of 2016. Very exciting. Lauren L. of Baha'iDesert.com is brought to you by Lauren L. or GrowWithLaurenL.com. That's correct. LaurenL.com is brought to you by Grow With Lauren L. That's my own online marketing services. I provide services to individuals, businesses of various sizes, based all over Southern California, even abroad. I offer services in online marketing, social media development, sending out press releases, gaining more exposure for whatever it is that you do. If you would like to know more about that, please contact growwithlaurenl.com, and I'm happy to speak with you. It's what keeps this broadcast going, and I thank everyone for the support. Lauren L. of Baha'iDesert.com is seeking desert steward journalist, and this is a paid position. If you love the desert and you embrace technology, you can contact me. This is really exciting. Lauren L. of Baha'iDesert.com is a really cutting-edge form of media, very direct and involved with the community. Not only here in the Morongo Basin, but really all over the place. I cover a lot of different topics on the show and on my website. So if you would like to learn more about this, please contact me through Lauren L. of Baha'iDesert.com. Lauren L. of Baha'iDesert.com is also seeking sponsors or advertising. If you would like to sponsor the broadcast, then you're welcome to do so. It really helps to keep the broadcast going and expanding. And I have many opportunities available to you to gain exposure. There's also advertising options available on my website, and I'm really a versatile. If you would like to know more, you can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. I'm kicking off the show today with a piece of history coming from a booklet published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. It's the Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 to 2010. You can buy this yourself. It's available for sale at the Old Schoolhouse in 29 Palms. The article I'm featuring today is coming from the year 1950. The title is Grubstakes Days Honor Mining History. And here's what the article reads. Extensive planning that took place in the year 1950 resulted in the Yucca Valley Chamber of Commerce sponsoring a community celebration called Grubstake Days. The first official Grubstake Days was held April 6th through 8th, 1951. J.P. Hall, publisher of the California Mining Journal and a Yucca Valley property owner, made arrangements with the California Mining Council to hold its annual meeting there. The Chamber of Commerce, under the leadership of President Jules Baldassare, went into action and started a town celebration, which would be held in honor of the California Mining Council and the visiting miners. The chamber also wanted to give recognition to the early mining background of the Morongo Basin. Entertainment planned to keep the 300 to 400 visiting miners amused included a tour of the Joshua Tree National Monument, a ham dinner at the community club, viewing history of gold mining in California movie, children's events, and a big Western parade. Over the years, the event grew to include a PRCA rodeo, gold panning, food court, carnival, demolition derby, vendor fair, contest, and entertainment. Wow, that's been happening for a long time, and I didn't know the Yucca Valley Chamber of Commerce has been in service that long. That's really interesting. Mining history is really important even to this day. I have to be honest, mining history is one of my favorite things to learn about here in the Morongo Basin. Growing up in Desert Hot Springs, I didn't learn about it so much when I was a kid, but since I've been up here in the Morongo Basin, I realize how important mining has been in the history here in this area and the development. So, good to know. I personally have never been to Grubstake Days, and it's just really interesting to me that, again, growing up in Desert Hot Springs, just right down the hill, I never came up here to that event. So, we always went out to the Date Festival in India. That was a big draw for everybody. Moving on to local events, this is what's going on in the High Desert. All of these events that I mentioned, you can view at my website, laurenl.com. I have an event section there. And if you know of any events happening in the area that relate to what I cover, such as community awareness in regards to history or development issues in the area, such as solar production or solar development, any kind of retailer development, then please let me know. I really appreciate it, and I will try to get it on my calendar. February 3rd, 2016, there will be a solar talk starting at 5 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge, and this is hosted by Buck Buckley. You can learn more about becoming energy efficient and self-sustaining, and this will take place in Joshua Tree. I've been to Buck's presentation before, and he's really informative about opportunities for you to put solar on your household. He personally offers services and can help direct you and answer your questions whenever you need to know. And he just throws out a lot of information and statistics about what's happening in solar. So I encourage you to go. That's free. On February 5th, 2016, there will be a Morongo Basin Historical Society event. It is taking place on a Saturday and a Sunday. It is a marketplace. And as well as a yard sale, this will be in Landers. Power saws, tools, plumbing, framed pictures, wine accessories, kitchenware, gas can, car washing mitts, remote control boat, sewing items, clothes, books, toys, collectibles. There's a huge selection. If you would like to participate, you can call 760-364-2000. And this is really great for the Morongo Basin Historical Society to raise funds because they do so much here in the area, and they're just a great group. And I went on a field trip with them once to Gaw, closer to the Mojave Preserve. It's a ghost town, and it was a very memorable experience for me. And so that was hosted by the Morongo Basin Historical Society. There will be a lecture hosted by the Morongo Basin Historical Society on February 10th, starting at 5:30 p.m. in Yucca Valley. And this will be about reptiles of the Morongo Basin. The speaker will be Robert Black, who will speak about habitats, range, and how to identify reptiles in the Morongo Basin. He will discuss how reptiles have adapted to the extremes in our desert ecosystem. You can bring your questions about lizards, snakes, and desert tortoises. The fee is $5. I encourage you to attend. And then there will be an old schoolhouse lecture. It will be about the history of the 29 Palms Artist Guild, taking place on February 12th, starting at 7 p.m. at the old schoolhouse in 29 Palms. The fee is $5. The speaker is Kent Remington. So this should be really interesting. I know, obviously, Joshua Tree is on the map for artists, but 29 Palms has significant number of art events that happen out in that direction as well. So it's really interesting to learn the history. I personally have wondered about the history of how this area has developed to be an artist hangout while also being a place with the largest military base in the world, and then also the mining history. It's just so many different people coming together in the Morongo Basin. So to learn where everybody came from is really fascinating to hear about. If you need to catch up with these events, then please visit my website. And again, if there's any events that you think I should add to the calendar, then please let me know. And I appreciate you contacting me. I attended a number of local events recently. The largest event that I attended was the Transition Joshua Tree quarterly meeting taking place at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Valley. This was on Saturday, January. Totally, I'm giving you the wrong information right here. Okay, so what I was trying to get at is that I attended a annual meeting hosted by the Morongo Basin Conservation Association, and this was a really special meeting because they actually hosted a speaker panel. So there were three speakers. They all gave their own presentations. The topic was community choice aggregation, which is it's really an upcoming method for communities to control the energy options in their local area, such as their county. And I've read about California or community choice aggregations before, which I have read that in the 1990s they began initiating on the East Coast, and they've just been gradually expanding further and further west. And so they're also called CCAs. So CCAs have become of interest to California communities and as well as nearby states because it's been such a hassle with communicating and working with the utility companies, especially with solar expanding as fast as it is. Just by being here for a year and a half, I've seen multiple presentations given by solar companies who are proposing to build solar plants in the Morongo Basin in nearby areas. And it's been very challenging for the community to participate in the development of energy within their local region and to really have a control of what's happening. So CCAs are allowing people and allowing communities to have more control of what kind of power or energy production is happening in their area, how it's distributed, and related topics. So just to say a little bit more about this event, there were three speakers again, and one of them was Bill Powers. He's a San Diego-based engineer, and he's the founder of San Diego Energy District Foundation. He gave a lot of great information about San Diego. San Diego is actually seeking to be 100% solar by 2035, or 100% clean energy by 2035. So he's definitely been involved in many programs, and he just gave a lot of great information. What was interesting that he pointed out is that the federal government placed requirements on utility companies to meet renewable energy demands, which caused utility companies to build remote solar and install power lines crossing the desert. I know that we saw this, and I've been hearing it for years, is that the government established these goals for renewable energy thresholds to be met. And so, yes, this has put pressure on the utility companies to seek how to meet these demands, which has caused them to ultimately go out to the desert and try to build massive solar plants too, because I guess it seems like that's the quickest and easiest way to go about it, rather than having to deal with each and every individual homeowner, because that's ultimately what people are requesting, especially here in the desert, is that we have more rooftop solar. But I can definitely see where it's a challenge to communicate with homeowners or people who own structures and to negotiate with them how much solar to put on their household and related issues. So again, he pointed out that it's actually profitable for utility companies to install transmission lines, smart meters, and distribution line upgrades. Despite these measures being profitable, Southern California Edison rates are rising. There has been a state-funded program that was implemented to increase distributed solar, but there were energy caps, and the program is soon expiring. This is an interesting topic as well. I was talking to Buck Buckley about this. He brought it up, which is if a homeowner wants to opt into solar, why don't we give them the option to cover their complete rooftop? They're already open to solar in the first place. So instead of putting just a small amount of panels on just a little portion of the roof, which is what we commonly see, why don't we give them the option to just cover their whole roof since they're interested? And it was mentioned that there is a cap from the utility companies about how much solar can be produced from a household. So if a person did want to cover their whole house in solar panels, their whole rooftop, then it's still not an option. So he gave insight on that. He did say that the Morongo Basin has advanced infrastructure here, power infrastructure, and it's just up to the community here to decide what the future is and how to use this structuring in terms of do we continue working with utility companies directly as what we have been doing, or do we transition to a CCA where people become more involved, or do we at least propose to the county to further investigate CCA opportunities? Another speaker was Woody Hastings, and he's actually the renewable energy implementation manager for the Center of Climate Protection in Santa Rosa. but he came to actually explain Sonoma Clean Power, which is from Sonoma County up north. And Sonoma Clean Power is a CCA that developed. I do not have the time frame. It's relatively new, but he did point out that participation within that region was 89%, which is phenomenal. 89% participation is so much coming from the community. That means that 89% of the people within their region that they covered opted into participating with Sonoma Clean Power. He mentioned that electric rates increase on average by 4% every year, but Sonoma Clean Power broke that trend. Customers have a direct savings of 6 to 9%. He even pointed out that the wine industry in that area is interested in CCAs. When Sonoma County proposed the CCA, they never said that the rates would be lower than current utility rates. He pointed out that's important. They don't want to lie to the consumers or to the people participating in the program, but they did mention that it would be competitive. And so it's interesting that he mentioned not only are the rates competitive, but they are way cheaper than what the utility companies are charging. He mentioned that people are attracted to the word choice. They like to have choice, whereas with utility companies, there is no choice. And that's all I have to say about Woody Hastings. He gave a great presentation as well. And so that was interesting to hear about that project that is currently up and running. And again, he did mention that there was quite an investment in it, that a CCA does take investment, research, and related tasks. But once it's up and running, there's a payback really quickly. And then finally, there was Barbara Boswell, who's the director of both Choice Energy and Finance Departments for the City of Lancaster, California. And Lancaster has successfully established a CCA in their boundaries, and so she explained more about that. Lancaster had a 93% participation rate in the CCA program, which is phenomenal. She mentioned that the mayor of Lancaster wanted the city to be net zero, and he supported local solar development, required solar on rooftops, and worked with school systems to put solar on their roofs. But the main tool to really have these opportunities available was the CCA. So I took note of that the mayor of the city was really set on making an impact in the city and making waves for becoming net zero. The process of implementing a CCA entailed creating a plan in 2013 and submitting it to the Public Utility Commission in 2014. And then the city looked at quotes from suppliers and selected a supplier, which then launched them to the CCA. She mentioned a benefit of having a CCA is that the rates are consistent. Sometimes with utility companies, the rates can change pretty quickly. And so with the CCA, the rates are consistent and predictable. For Lancaster, the startup fee was $1 million. But she mentioned that this will probably be cheaper for other cities in California to establish because more are beginning to establish their own CCAs. And as the process becomes more streamlined and people become more accustomed to establishing a CCA, that the rate will probably diminish. Because it was noted that Lancaster is one of the first cities in California to do this. So yes, yeah, so it is unpredictable about what the feature or what the fee would be to establish a CCA in San Bernardino County, for example. And something else that was mentioned was that utility companies have actually been combating the establishment of CCAs. One thing that was pointed out about the CCAs is that they will not be completely barred out of the energy industry. They will provide the infrastructure or keep it maintained, and they will also do billing, but they will no longer be directly involved with the energy sector wherever a CCA is established. Woody Hastings had mention that Lancaster, or Barbara said Lancaster CCA was established in a year, which is actually really quick when you think about it, compared to a lot of other bureaucratic issues that happen. But it was pointed out that the reason why Lancaster CCA was established so quickly was because it's a single jurisdiction compared to other counties and other locations where there's multiple jurisdictions. So if there's multiple jurisdictions, it can take a bit longer for different parties to come to an agreement and establish what the ultimate goal will be. All of this information can be found on my website. I actually put it under the news section. The title of the article is The Future of Renewable Energy with Community Choice Aggregation, and I encourage you to read it because I have more detail, and it's just really fascinating to learn about. This is really exciting because it will allow the community, or at least San Bernardino County, if it establishes a CCA, people will be more involved with the distribution of energy and establish how they wish to see power in the future. So I know in the Morongo Basin, there's many distributed solar supporters, and so a CCA can further establish that. Another event that I attended was Transition Joshua Tree's quarterly meeting. This took place on Saturday, January 30th, 2016, and focuses on educating local community about diet, food options, permaculture, water, and other issues. Transition Joshua Tree is a really cool group because they focus on all these various issues that people are in the Morongo Basin are concerned about. And they have a more down-to-earth community approach. It's comprised of many, or it consists of many community members who just love to gather together to do things, to experiment. And so I always like to go to their meetings and just learn more about what they've been doing. Transition Joshua Tree actually consists of a number of groups, such as the Water Group, the Permaculture Group, Enterprise, Heart and Soul. So each group gave a recap of what it's been doing for the past quarter. The Water Group has, they investigated the Cadiz project out by Amboy. I haven't covered this project so much, but it was interesting to hear from Transition Joshua Tree that they actually went on a field trip. Some of the members went on a field trip out to the Cadiz area to investigate the Cadiz project and even spoke with a hydrologist about the issue and to hear more from the company pursuing the project about what was happening. So that was the Water Group. There's also a Permaculture Group, and they are working on building a cob bench made out of bottle bricks. I've covered this before on my website, bottle bricks, which are basically bricks that are, or bottles that are filled with trash to the point that they become like a brick. They become very strong, and so the cob bench will be comprised, or will be built out of the bottle brick and then covered in a cob material. So that's what the permaculture group is working on. There's the enterprise group, and the enterprise group, from what I understand, is really interested in developing a time bank. Time banks, I have not participated personally in a time bank, but I have been hearing about it for years. It's nothing new, it's just that it's something that a lot of different groups in various places like to try, which is to develop their own small personalized economy. And with a time bank, you can basically trade services with each other, and instead of actual money, which is what we normally do, and you just gradually begin to develop your own economy, your own monetary system. And so it's really interesting to learn about. So I encourage you to investigate the enterprise group if you enjoy that, if you enjoy offering services, and instead of working directly with money, you can be more strategic in how you work with people by trading. And another group that's really cool from Transition Joshua Tree is the Heart and Soul group, which focuses on bringing people together to just really laugh and develop positive energy and bonds. They've done so many positive events for the community. I really admire them. I remember a year ago they did the Death Cafes. Many, or some of you may have attended that, the Death Cafes. And That was just phenomenal. There was a really high attendance rate for these death cafes, which the ultimate point of it was to just discuss death in terms of how we observe death, what death means to us, or what death means to you, and to just, bring out concepts and ideas of this personal topic. And so that was something hosted by the Heart and Soul Group of Transition Joshua Tree, which I know that many people in the area enjoyed that. They also host their own circles. So that was Transition Joshua Tree's quarterly meeting. I encourage you to investigate more about them. You can search transitionjoshuatree.com or go on Facebook and find them and see what the latest event is that they're hosting. And finally, I did attend a vegan gathering at the Beatnik Lounge on January 31st, 2016. This was hosted by Alice, who is a local resident. And it was a really nice event. She had a number of people attend. It's going to be consistent, actually, this vegan gathering on the last Saturday of every month at the Beatnik Lounge. And it's just really laid back. People can bring food. It's a vegan event, so it's encouraged that you bring vegan food. But you get to meet people. You get to learn more about the vegan diet. If you don't know much about it or you're not vegan, they welcome everybody. And they play music, and it's a great event, a great way to meet people and learn about diet options and discuss food and how you can integrate a healthier diet into your own lifestyle. That's all I have for now, coming from local events. If there's anything that I should cover in the coming future, then please let me know. Go to laurenl@bahaidesert.com and message me. I welcome you to do so, and I look forward to speaking with you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you have a great week.